So we talked a little bit about surrender. Before I do that, before I go there, I want to give you a little history lesson. You might say it's the gospel lesson. God created everything, the heavens and the earth, and then he created man. He created the animals, and man named the animals, and created woman, and Adam and Eve were there then in the garden. And they walked in full relationship with God, unbroken. And there was a choice. You could choose right, you could choose wrong. Just don't eat from that tree. You can eat from any tree you want. You just don't eat from that tree. And they had a choice, and what a great gift choice is. Because we can choose to love God. We can choose to be close to God, or we can choose to do our own thing. And a serpent came along and said to the woman, you can be just like God. You can know everything. And she ate the fruit she wasn't supposed to eat. And there was the fall of man, right? And ever since then, God has been working. The entirety of the Bible is a redemption story, God redeeming his people. And so we have the Old Testament law that was given. Not a law of rights and wrongs and do's and don'ts, and don't put laws on top of laws on top of laws. The culture did that. And so by the time they got to a certain place, there were so many laws that, man, what was the original law? I forgot what it was, because you put so many laws in front of it. So it was expedient that God do something different, because it wasn't working. The sacrifice of these animals and this burning of the incense, and it wasn't working. There needed to be something different. And so he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. And he walked among us, and he gave examples, and he challenged it. And he said, hey, do you remember the original law? Love God the Father with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Every other law underneath it falls under those two categories. Just remember those two. If you can do those two, you're good. But he needed to do something, and so he went to the cross and he died. He died as the sacrifice to fulfill that Old Testament law once and for all. Done. None of us could do it. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. He went and did it. Then, of course, he rose from the dead 3 days later, and we celebrated that on Easter. Then he ascends into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he sent his Holy Spirit to live within us, to make a mark on us. And he's coming back again. So there's that story, right? There's that wonderful story. And this grace that's been given, this grace upon grace, it isn't just for the Jewish people. It's for everyone. Paul was a preacher to the Gentiles. He was sent to go to the Gentiles. So it was for you and I as well. And so Paul writes Romans, and he gives this history ever since the beginning, and he says, hey, there's the law, and you're justified by the law, and I know you're Gentiles, but it doesn't matter because it was for everyone, and here's how it was for everyone. And he gives a breakdown, and he tells them that this grace is for you as well. This thing that has been done was done for all of us. And then he gives a therefore statement in Romans 12. He gives a therefore statement. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's grace, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Oh, surrender. That's the word we were talking about in our connection question, that surrender. The words, the world's definition of surrender would be an act of failure, wouldn't it? Ugh, you failed. This greater power defeated you. You're the weaker power. He's the greater power. You've been defeated. To yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. That's what it means. You can look it up. The dictionary definition of surrender. The stronger overtaking the weak. And we think about that. We're like, oh man. So we just give up? Listen, when it's concerning the things of God, when it's concerning you versus God, you don't have a chance, right? If there was a battle between you and God, you'd lose, right? Jacob did it. He wrestled with God. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. I think that's grace. I think that's grace right there. He renamed Israel, which means wrestles with God. He wrestled with God and he lived. When it's concerning the things of God and about submitting to a higher power, we don't have a chance. In Revelation, there's a whole buildup of Satan's armies and the people of Satan, and all those things are happening, and he's gathering his people, and there's about two or three chapters of him gathering these armies to go after and defeat God, and they're getting together, and then there's like a tiny little paragraph where God basically snaps his fingers and throws him into a pit of fire. He's an omnipotent God. He's all powerful. He's a powerful God. But in his mercy, in his love, he has given us choice. Same choice Adam and Eve had. There's been choice ever since the beginning, after the fall, right? Right there at the beginning, God is with their son and he says, hey, sin's at your doorstep. Giving him choice. You don't have to do this. And he goes and he kills his brother. Wrong choice. And his people have been making the wrong choice over and over and over again. He gives them the law and says, you guys, this is so you can be set apart from the rest of the world. They look at the rest of the world and say, hey, these people have kings. Can we have a king? God's like, what am I? Chop liver? Okay, fine, you can have a king. Grace. Mercy. Over and over again, God's redemptive measures are happening. And so therefore, because God has had grace upon grace upon grace upon grace already given, then he sent his son, gave you more grace, gave you more mercy, gave you more love. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I surrender. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We talk about an interactive worship service. That should be the beginning. I offer everything. I lay it at your feet. Doesn't even matter. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we have this Easter story, but then what do we do with it? Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. Be set apart. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. Be set apart. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, I didn't just send you the Holy Spirit so you would have all this power. I sent you the Holy Spirit so we can clean some things up, so we can clean out the garage. So you can actually park your car in there if you wanted to. Of course, that's an analogy for your life, your spiritual life. Paul is talking about real transformation here. Real life-altering change. He isn't talking about like sort of, yeah, who's familiar with the Transformers? You know, the robots, they're big giant robots, and then they turn into cars, and then they turn back into robots. Well, that's two different, They could change back and forth. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about we change on Sunday morning and we're sort of this holy person on Sunday morning, and then we go back out on Monday and we're another person. That's two different lives, two different kind of things going on, two shapes. That's confusing. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about changing back and forth. God desires permanent change. Once you change, you don't change back. He doesn't want you to go back to your old ways. He said, throw those in the garbage. Don't go digging out of the garbage can and getting them back. They're done. That you would be made new. That's what God's desire is for you. Surrender to God and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Be completely changed. A caterpillar is a better example. Caterpillars, those little small little things, they can barely move. They're not that quick. They go about as fast as my fingers going across this, if they're running. They're not quick. And they can't get very far, and they kind of mosey along, and we see them, and they're easy to catch. You can just put your hand out, and they just roll right on your hand, right? They're not going very far. They're actually kind of ugly in a way. Some people like them, but they're kind of gross and ugly little worm things crawling on your hand. Then one day it goes into a cocoon. And it becomes even uglier. It becomes goo in this cocoon. Just nasty goo. If you open it up, it's just a pile of goo. Guts and stuff, and it's all, ew. What are we doing? Then that cocoon breaks open at a certain point, and out comes a beautiful butterfly. And it floats, and it flies, and it can't just be stuck to the ground where it's limited. It can float all the way over there and all the way over there. And then people love it. Oh, look at a butterfly. Look at its wings. They take pictures because it's beautiful. It's wonderful. You can do much more as a butterfly than it ever imagined. This caterpillar is not going back in the cocoon to become a caterpillar again. It's not doing it. It's a butterfly now. There's no way the caterpillar or the butterfly at this point is going to be, oh, you know what? I think I want to be a caterpillar again. No, why would it? It's evolved. It's become something new. It's become something beautiful. That's what we're talking about. Life-altering change. But some people won't get it. We understand that. Some people won't get it. Some people will read scripture, hear God's word, and they'll be like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to grab hold of this. And the reason is simple. We don't like change. Someone tells me to change. What do I got to change? I'm perfect as I am. By the way, change is uncomfortable. It's going to take me out of my comfort zone, so I'd rather not. That's often what change is, right? I give the analogy all the time just for you to cross your hands. Go ahead, cross your hands. Naturally, cross your hands. Go ahead. Now, uncross them and cross them the other way. Sort of strange, because this is the way you naturally do it, and then you sort of do it that way, and you're kind of like, this don't feel right. I want to do it the other way again. Change is sort of, this is uncomfortable. You want me to do things different? Some people don't think they need change. Some people are like, I'm fine. I'm fantastic. I got a great job. I got a great wife. I got great kids. Got a great house. Got a great car. Everything's great. What do you want me to change? Everything's fantastic for me. I want to tell you this. We all have things in our life God wants to work on. Every single one of us have things in our life God wants to work at. And the people that are sitting there and going, well, I don't know. I hear your story at the beginning, and you're telling me that sin entered the world, and because this happened way back in like ancient times, now I have to deal with it, and I have to change because Adam and Eve ate an apple or an orange or whatever it was. How did I grow into a sinful person because of that? I'm just not. I don't understand. I'm not tracking. Well, let me tell you about my son. He's 3 years old, about that tall, right? Has autism, doesn't talk. But he's a bit of a rebel. He knows he's not supposed to go outside, and so what does he do? He looks at me. You gonna let me go? I'm gonna do it anyway. And then when I come toward him, he, ha ha ha, and he runs off outside. You're not supposed to do it. He knows what he's doing. Oh, there's that rebellious nature, isn't there? Oh, man. If God were to come right now and judge us just for the things that we've done in the last hour, you think you'd pass the test? Last week. You think you passed the test in the last week? Let me ask you this. Have you ever lied about something? A little white lie, maybe? Oh, you failed the test. White lie. You ever lied about something? You ever dishonored your parents? You ever been that person that's like, oh, no, they told me I had to be in when the lights come on, but I'm not doing it. You ever done that? You failed the test. You ever look at another person, female, male, and thought, oh, man, what I could do with that? Didn't actually do anything. You just thought about it. I'd like to kiss her, take her home, kiss him, take him home, whatever it is, right? You ever thought about it? Failed the test. We can go down the commandments. But you see where I'm going? Like, none of us are above reproach. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what I'm saying. It happens. It happens. Those people who are saying, I don't need change. What? Are you a perfect parent? You never make mistakes in parenting. Are you a perfect son or daughter? Never talk back to my parents. I never do. That's a lie. I used to do it all the time. You perfect manager. You manage people at work. You perfect manager. Never make mistakes. Perfect coworker. Perfect employee. Oof. I gotta tell you this right now, okay? Not a perfect pastor. I make mistakes. I fall short. And so I'm thankful for the grace. And as people come to me and they're like, hey, you should maybe change this part of your... Oh, hey, let me listen. Let me respond to that. Listen, when we look into God's word, it's like a mirror, right? It's looking right back at us. It's spelling out for us what our life should look like. And we look into the mirror and we need to allow God to change that person that we're seeing in the mirror. When we read certain things in that mirror, it's reflecting back to us. And we're like, ouch and amen. Need to change that. That's when there's transformation. That's when there's that choice. Okay, you can either change it or you can not change it. You can either allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life or you can not allow Him to work in your life and say, I don't need to change. Then there's a third problem. Some of us want change overnight. We want it immediately. We want it right now. Look, you said you were going to transform me. Let's get transformed. I want it to change. We're in a now culture. Matter of fact, at work, we now have what's called daily pay. People can go on an app and click on their pay and pay $3.50 and get their pay from that day that they worked today. Or you can just wait the 2 weeks and get your full pay, not have to pay any fee. But they know that we're in a now culture and you want it now. I want it now. Give it to me now. I can watch Netflix all day long because it's instantaneous. I don't have to wait a week for the next episode. I get it now. Sometimes they have shows that make you wait a week, but then we don't watch them until the show's finished so we can watch every episode now. We go to fast food because we want our food now and we don't want to cook it in our kitchen. Then we have to clean up our own mess. The now culture just makes people frustrated and angry because they didn't get it in the 5 minutes that you promised. It wasn't now. I don't want to go get Starbucks because then I have to wait in a line for 5 minutes. I want it now. Can I just go in and get it now? I have to wait in line? Why? But when it comes to life in this now culture, it creates frustration. It creates anger because we aren't getting what God said he would do in our lives now. What we think we should get now. God, you said you were going to change me, but I don't know if you're changing me in the areas I want you to change me. You haven't done it yet. I'm angry. Not better in this area of my life yet. Where are you at? So we begin to doubt ourselves. We begin to doubt God. We begin to lose faith because he's not done it now. Here's the truth. Some things in your life are going to be a process. Some things, instantaneous. Other things, a little bit of a process. You got to work on that. Oh, pastor, you said that word, work. Remember, I went to the fast food to get my food now so I didn't have to work and clean things up. Sometimes you have to work and clean things up. There are some things that will take time for you and God to work out together. And there's some steps that you might have to take. But trust me on this. God makes the changes and he promises to be there with you through it. He's not going to leave you alone as you work through whatever you're working through. When I used to teach this back at another church, people understood very well what I meant, that some things would be a process, because a lot of them were addicts, recovering addicts. But they knew that there was changes in their life that were happening, but they had to work at it. It took time. It was a process. It wasn't instantaneous. But God was with them through it all. God was always there. Sometimes there's things we've done in our lives that we just darn messed up. Now we got to go apologize to people, and those people might not accept our apology because of what we've done, but we got to own it. We got to accept it, and then the change happens and the process happens over time. Sometimes we messed up our marriage so bad, oh, we got to go to counseling. Okay, go to counseling. God will be with you. Little marriage tune-up. It's cool. Don't think of it as a bad thing. Then we get to this interesting word, because here it is. We give our, offer our bodies, surrender ourselves to God, holy and pleasing. It's our true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. We get to this idea of this big Christian word, sanctification. where God starts changing things, and it's both instantaneous. Sometimes he gets rid of stuff right away, right? You're like, wow, that's amazing. And people see that change in your life, and they're like, wait, bro, that's different. I like that. So to give you a breakdown of what this means, at salvation, we are made new. We're a new creature in Christ. We are made free from that original sin, that original depravity that happened back in the day, Adam and Eve, that sin nature that we're born with. He kind of fixes that. And we're brought into the very family of God. We're adopted into the very family of God. Whew. Initial sanctification. Boom, it's there. But after that initial cleansing, God creates in us a hunger for more that we should change, right? We're not just going to have milk all our lives. We're going to move on to peas and carrots and then eventually meat. We're going to eat that big meat. So we want more. We want more. We desire for him to work in our life and change things in our life so we can be more like Christ and go closer to him and inch closer and closer to God. And that brings us to that big word, sanctification, where he's constantly changing things in our life and moving things as we allow the Holy Spirit to do so. We allow God to work in us, and change happens sometimes instantly, but it's also a process. And so there's this thing going on. God's working on us and in us and then through us, because we're touching other people's lives, that they're seeing God's light shine through us. And we experience a transformation. We become a butterfly. Now, if you're a butterfly, why would you ever want to be a caterpillar again? So limited. Well, the problem comes when we start to decide what God should do in our lives and what we should look like, right? God looks at you. He's the potter, you're the clay, and looks at you and he goes, "Ah, yeah, I know what that should look like. I created the heavens and the earth. I created you. I know what you should look like." And you're sitting there going, "Well, I want to be this ashtray." He's like, no, you're not supposed to be an ashtray. You're supposed to be a giant vase that can carry flowers in it. The clay doesn't tell the potter what to make and how to make it or when to make it. That's what we're often doing. We're often telling God, well, you're moving too slow in this area, and I thought I should be like Superman by now, but you haven't made me Superman. I remember someone telling me that if I'm walking with God and it's God's purpose, that everything's going to work out. But if I'm doing it on my own and I think this is what my life should look like, well, good luck with that. That's what they told me. But a life when touched by God is transformed into what it's supposed to be, something beautiful, something amazing, something that God can use in this particular place, at this particular time, for this particular reason. And if that's to reach one particular person, all right, cool. God left the 99 good sheep to go find the one that ran off. It's God who knows the finished product and what it should look like. God, change me into... How about, God, I surrender. Here's my body. Here's my life. I offer it to you as a living sacrifice. Make me into whatever you want. Use me however you want. And often we can look back. And I could have asked this on the connection question. Often we can look back and see how God has worked in our lives and changed us since that day we first encountered him and said, "Yes, God." So we need to get plugged in so that we can continue to grow. Plugged in, what does that mean? We need to be in His Word, first and foremost, so that the mirror can show. We need to be with His people so there can be accountability. We need to be in conversation with Him, silently listening for His voice. We need to be plugged into the things of God so we can continue to grow. And yes, I know sometimes change is hard. Sometimes He's going to pick something out of your life that you need to change, and you'll be like, well, I don't want to really change that. That's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable. It might hurt a little bit. But God would rather you experience a trial, maybe some pain, maybe some discomfort, in order to shape you into the person that you are intended and created to be. He cares more about your character in this sense than He does your comfort. Well, that's uncomfortable. Good. It's going to change you. My son would love to go run in the streets. No. That's my answer. Because I love you. God cares more about your character than He cares about your comfort. Because He understands that sometimes what He does in your life is going to make you uncomfortable, but it's going to make you into the person you were created, intended to be, into the person that exhibits Christ-like, whose light will shine into the lives of others, and they'll be like, oh, I remember when you were... So this morning, I think we have to just turn it over to Him. We have to just sort of go into this prayer mode where we say, Lord, I give it to You. I give You my thoughts this morning. I give You my life. I offer it as a living sacrifice. Transform me in the way that You think. Change the way I think. Reveal in me some of those ways that I've sort of conformed to the patterns of this world, and transform me. Renew my mind. We have to say, God, I surrender. I give up. I can't do this on my own. I need Your help. I surrender my life. I surrender my finances. I surrender my marriage to You. I surrender my kids to You. Or I surrender everything to You. I surrender my career. Just laying it all at Your feet. I can't do it on my own. I want to be transformed by the power, Your power. Not by what I can do alone, but what You can do in and through me. I want that. Do that. That should be our prayer. Paul prayed to the church at Thessalonica, may God Himself sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the One who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. That's the promise. So we have a choice. We can pray that. Say, I give it all to You. I give You my thoughts. I give You my finances. I give You my life. I surrender all, as the hymn of the church says, all to Jesus, my loving Savior. I surrender all. Transform me, change me. I'm ready. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, but I'm ready. Let's pray. Let's pray that. Father, we come this morning to You. After everything You've done, after Easter, after we celebrate that, Your Son came and gave mercy, gave grace, gave Your Holy Spirit so that we can be cleaned out, that we can be made new, that we can be empowered, that we can be transformed and changed, that our minds can be changed. If we would just lay it down at your feet, if we would just lay the things we struggle with at your feet, and give up. She said, man, I give up, I surrender, I can't do this on my own. Because we can't. If we could, then your son didn't need to come. Then we didn't need Jesus if we can do it all on our own, but we can't. So in this sense, when we say we surrender, it's a good thing. We give our lives over to you to be molded into your son's likeness, to be used by you. We surrender all. All of it this morning. And we know it's not going to be easy. We know that. But God, we're ready. Walk with us through it. Be with us through it. Fill us fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit this morning. Empower us as we take on this task.